Welcome to the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast here on the Backbreaker Media Network. And now, your host, Big Bad Boris.
Welcome to another edition of the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast. My name is Big Bad Boris here on the Backbreaker Podcast Network. I gotta get the new parent company right, or I'm gonna get yelled at and get fired. This week I am joined by somebody that I actually don't know too much about. Our paths haven't crossed too much because we've worked for different companies, separate companies. But the Canadian Goose is my guest this week, Mr. Goose. Thanks for hanging out with me. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I feel your pain. I also got a talking to about this no longer being on the Backbreaker Media Network and it now being on the Backbreaker Podcast Network. Oh, is that like, you know, once they got the F out, if they said, you know, Federation, they had to like beep it out?
Yeah, it's like saying Voldemort. You can't say that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
I'm learning all about that now. I'm on book four of Harry Potter.
Well, I'm just saying, I feel your pain. Thank you very much for having me on, bud. I love your podcast.
Thank you.
It's a lot of fun to listen to. I've listened to a bunch of your episodes. I listened to MRB, Colton Kelly. I believe, did you do one with Thaddeus?
I did. He was one of the first couple. Yeah, everybody forgets about Thaddeus. Fuck that guy anyway.
Thaddeus, and then I just listened to Ava Lawless. So,
yeah, I learned a lot about Ava Lawless last week. That was a good chat.
Yeah, it seemed good. Ava Lawless is fantastic.
Yeah, very cool.
She's like gotten really, really good really, really quickly.
Yep, she went, like we were talking about last week, she went from front row at Calgary shows to in the ring in a very, very short time and competing at a very high level as well.
Yeah. She's busting her butt, doing a great job, which is, you know, same can be said for Taryn and Zoe as well.
A lot of people, men and women, all over the place. So yeah, you and I, we haven't really crossed paths a lot until the whole clandestine experiment, because you were working, I assume, RCW the majority, and I'm of course I'm a PWA guy. So I don't really know a lot about your history. So that's what we're going to kind of delve into to start. Wrestling fan as a kid, when did you kind of get your bug, your bite for the business?
Well, I remember watching the Royal Rumble where Undertaker like rises from the grave at the end and he comes up from behind the big screen and there's like, he's just like there's 20 guys had to take him out or something. Right.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that pay-per-view, but being more interested in like, you know, just playing with the other kid's toy because we went over to my dad's boss's place to watch this or whatever. But then later on, like the Attitude Era hit. And they did the angle where Vince McMahon was revealed to be the Undertaker's like boss.
The higher power.
I'm the higher power. It was me, Austin. Me all along. Yeah. And I was hooked at that point because I used to have cadets on Monday nights. I was a member of the air cadets.
Okay.
And because I wanted to fly airplanes. But I used to do that. And then when I moved downtown, I started watching Monday Night Raw like on the occasion when I could, because I had to go to the cadets. But then once that happened and, you know, like the downtown cadet corps was a lot more like rigid and militaristic than the one where, you know, I had been to previously on the outskirts of Victoria there. On the outskirts, it was just like basically a bunch of like just cool kids just getting together, having a good time. And yeah, we marched and stuff, but it wasn't like really hardcore. And then when I got downtown there, they'd yell at like and just be miserable pricks, and it was like I'd rather watch wrestling.
Fair enough.
So yeah, I got just roped right in there and kept up watching regularly for a very, very long time. And yeah, then I sort of started going to like local indie shows in Victoria, and one day you know, and I'm not going to sit here and condone backyard wrestling, but it's a thing that I used to do, right?
I think a lot of guys did. I mean, if we're being honest, I know, you know, we frown upon it just out of concern for safety, but I think that, you know, it's just natural for kids to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we weren't like super dangerous about it. We weren't using any like crazy weaponry or like doing any gnarly like stunts. Mind you, like wrestling can be dangerous even doing the simplest of things. So yeah, don't do backyard wrestling. But it was a thing I did, and They had a local show going on, and it was Victoria City Wrestling. It was going to be their first show. So I knew I wasn't going to wrestle on the show, and I didn't propose that idea whatsoever, but I did message the promoter and be like, hey, me and my buddy sometimes do this backyard wrestling stuff, and I have a video camera and we film it. Do you want us to come down and film the show for you? And, you know, my buddy, we do like commentary and stuff, which it's a very good thing that he said, no, thank you. But because like, it was literally my buddy stands there with the video camera, films and talks at the same time, like kind of like Core Beale does. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so he said, no, thanks. But if you'd like to come down and help out and lend a hand, that'd be great. So I did that. And, you know, at that time I was like, okay, I'll train to be a wrestler, but I was in horrible shape, like 300 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Like,
okay.
Like, yeah, like really, really bad fat. And just like, I couldn't do a front roll. We tried to do the training and there was no way I was getting like rolling forward and then getting back up on my feet. It just wasn't going to happen. Right. So I ended up just kind of doing like helping set up the ring and putting up posters around town. And then eventually they were like, oh, well, we'll get you to like interview a guy. And so I did that. I interviewed a dude and he gave me a clothesline and then put me in a submission hold. And another guy run out and save the poor interview guy. Right. That was like clearly nervous because it was his first time or whatever. And
do you remember who the dude was?
Yeah, so we did that. Yeah, it was a guy named Sweet Daddy Devastation.
Sweet Daddy Devastation. Yeah, oh, boy.
This was in Victoria, and he gave me a clothesline, and then the promoter, Vid Vane, came out, and he saved me. And it was filmed to be on television, but apparently got cut or something for like Christmas. They wanted to put a Christmas segment on or something. I don't know. Okay. That's what I was told. It was probably cut because it was probably terrible.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No, never. Unfortunately, I would like to. Then we did another one where I was in a ring and I was talking to the this guy who was like a criminal. Like he was a prisoner. That was his gimmick. He was a prison inmate. His name was Machete Brown.
Oh, these are awesome names.
Yeah, yeah.
Machete Brown and Sweet Daddy Devastation.
Oh, there's some good stuff going on. His tag team partner, the Cremator, was also in the ring.
I've heard of the Cremator.
Oh, yeah. The Cremator's still active. He runs VIPW on Vancouver Island.
Okay.
But like, yeah, so it was supposed to be Cremator was going to like go on all fours behind me and then Machete was gonna push me behind over onto him, right?
But you know, like my playground thing. Yeah.
My ring positioning sucks. So I'm standing way too close to the ropes for this to happen safely. So Cremator just kind of nails me with his chain wrapped fist, right? And I went down and I was not like a trained wrestler. I was just kind of the interview guy that was getting beat up for sympathy reasons. So yeah. The baby faces could come and make the big save. Right. So yeah, we did that. And that wasn't filmed for TV or anything. That was just part of the show. And I've seen the footage from that. And it's also, you know, I mean, it's fine, but I look horrible. Like I said, I was completely like obese. It was really, really embarrassing.
So did the wanting to train to wrestle help you kind of kickstart the weight loss or how did that all happen?
Well, I kind of just eventually those shows just stopped happening. Like Victoria City Wrestling, he stopped promoting shows. I guess he didn't make enough money or whatever. You know, it's hard to promote wrestling, especially in like BC where, you know, it's not like exactly like a thriving wrestling scene, at least not back then anyway. And then, he just stopped running shows and, I just kind of resigned myself to that it was something I couldn't do. Right. And I was just like, yeah, there's no way I can ever get in good enough shape to be a wrestler. And then, some time passed and I ended up moving to Alberta. And, you know, one of the benefits was that there was local wrestling going on. So I messaged Squig one day, just out of the blue, said, hey, I've helped at these shows on Vancouver Island and I'd be happy to come and help you in any way I can and whatnot. So I came down, I did music on the first show. It was the one where Jesse Neal jumped off the balcony onto a bunch of guys in Red Deer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That was the first time I did music or anything really with RCW.
That did you fuck anything up?
Show. No. Well, it wasn't on me, the fuck ups. It was they you know, it's an indie wrestling show. RCW is not exactly known for the most organized sound department. You know, so some guy's music wasn't on the laptop they gave me or whatever. Oh, so okay. I had to switch the audio cord from the laptop to my cell phone.
Oh, okay.
And looked the song up on YouTube. And then
I've been there. It's horrible.
You have to make sure that the YouTube video doesn't have an ad before it.
Yep.
that was a situation I had to worry about. And then the other situation was once I unplugged that audio cord from the computer for some reason and plugged it into my phone, I had to blast the main volume of mm-hmm. the entire unit in order for the music to sound good. And unfortunately that resulted in the ring announcer trying to speak and just blowing the audio.
Oh,
rain.
I guess. Yeah.
So I had to call the ring announcer over and be like, hey, just let the song end. I'll tune it down. Then introduce the guy, you know? So
yeah, I've had moments like that. And you know, you learn things over the years. And now like I always have, I have 5 generic rock songs and I have 5 generic hip hop songs just in case, you know, somebody doesn't have anything or whatever. I have just like some backup ones that I play. I've also, I also have a bell sound because there was times where PWA for some reason wouldn't have a bell. So I always have a backup bell sound and just, you know, things you learn along the way for trying to prevent a headache. I also keep AA batteries in my gear bag for, because there's been times where the handheld microphone batteries would die and nobody had batteries. So I always carry those with me too. Just tricks of the trade that you learn to carry around in your little tickle trunk you know, if anything can go wrong, it's gonna.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's one of my favorite parts about independent wrestling though, is when things go awry and then you just have to make it work. And it's magical when you do.
The show, that bell's going to ring. That show's going to start. Those doors are going to open. So you got to make it happen.
Yeah. I have literally like even what it was at 3 weeks ago, RCW show, the sound system went down for 3 matches. Like no mic, no music. Like, I think music was still working. The microphones didn't work. So I had to stand there because I was ring announcing because I was, I'm kind of rehabbing an injury. And at the time I was ring announcing. And so no microphones for 3 matches. And I just had to stand there and talk loud.
And that sucks.
It was fine. Like it's hard on the voice. Mm-hmm. Like, but you know, and it's frustrating from a perspective of, come on, like what is going on here? It turned out that somebody like accidentally like kicked the cord that had the microphones plugged in or something.
Oh, okay.
So silly, but whatever. It's not, and it wasn't the first time it's happened. It happened once in Calgary too, but like you just make it work and you just, you know, and people still have a good time. Like they didn't come here to watch entrances, you know?
True. Yeah. It's an exercise in problem solving. So you come to Alberta, you start pitching in at RCW playing music and stuff. Is there some training and more training and stuff that happens here?
Eventually I go from being a music guy to ring announcing one day because I mentioned to Squig because Squig asked me, is there anything you wanted to do like beyond like wrestling or whatever? And I was like, yeah, I'd like to try reffing, ring announcing, you know, managing, commissioner, whatever, right? Like that'd all be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And so one day I just got a call out of the blue. Hey, I need a guy to ring announce in Calgary tonight. Are you down? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I went down and I ring announced that show and eventually got more opportunities to ring announce. And then they kind of like developed a bit of a talent for it. And then I became like the regular RCW ring announcer for like a couple of years. And at a certain point, Andrew Hawk had acquired a wrestling ring and put it up in his backyard, put up on the worker page, hey guys, I got the ring up in my yard, and if anyone wants to come and train, get a hold of me and we'll make it work or whatever. And I was like, okay, Squeak's been wanting me to like move to Edmonton so that I'm closer for the Edmonton. I don't know why, but Squeak was pitching the idea of me moving to Edmonton from Red Deer. So I decided, you know what, I'll do it, and I'll just go to the training camp and start training. And that's what I did. I mean, it was following like, the year before, like right before that, I had really buckled down on my like diet and fitness and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I lost a whole lot of weight. And so, you know, by the time I had started training, I kind of regained a few bad habits and whatnot, and wasn't as regimented as before. It was something I knew like I could do, right? Like mm-hmm. even losing the weight in the first place was one of those things. Like that's the whole reason I didn't become a wrestler. But then once it dawned on me that like, you know, like you can do it, you just have to do it, right? Losing weight, that's just kind of what it comes down to, is like discipline, you know? So then once I lost the weight and whatnot, I was like, okay, I'll go and train, and, you know, at least then maybe I can be in one match, right? Live mm-hmm. my dream and be in one match. And then, so we're at training, and Hawk says to me, he's like, oh, Kyle, like, what do you want your gimmick to be? Like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I'm already like the ring announcer. Maybe they could send out the heel, and one of the heels starts like berating me and bullying me over the course of a few shows and stuff, till eventually I bow up and we have like a tag team match or something, mm-hmm. you know? And he was like, Kyle, like the ring announcer, nobody's going to give a fuck about that, you know? And I was like, oh yeah, I guess you're kind of right. And he was like, you should do like a mask gimmick, like Dead Zone, right?
See, I don't necessarily agree with that. With that, not giving a shit about. If you've got a really good heel, then anybody could be a sympathetic babyface. If you've got a really good heel, I mean, I did, you know, the whole thing with Andy Anderson years ago. And again,
I was just the commentator guy,
but because Andy's such a good heel and so hated, he bullies commentator guy. Everyone loves commentator guy. So I think, you know, I don't necessarily support that. But I mean, everybody has their own philosophies of how things work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Hawk was training me, so I didn't like, you know, express any like disagreement with him, but mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, you know, like maybe this other idea that he has is a better idea. So let's try that. Cause like, he's a trainer. He'll know better than I do. Right. Mm-hmm. But like, I wouldn't have pitched it if I thought it was a bad idea, but he was like, no, you need to be like a masked character, like Dead Zone or something. And so I went home and I was watching some wrestling on YouTube and came across Impact Wrestling, and they had Moose out there. He's this huge black dude, right, with all these tattoos and stuff. I'm sure you know who Moose is.
Of course I know who Moose is. He's doing well for himself right now.
Yeah, he came to Alberta and wrestled here. But anyway, he's doing this and he pumps his arm up in the air and goes, Moose, Moose, Moose. And all the fans are doing it as well. Like mm-hmm. the whole thing is like crazy over. And I was just like, what rhymes with moose? Like, I'm just going to steal this. And what, you know, I was kind of start going through the alphabet and came to Goose and was like, oh, Goose, Canadian Goose. I work for real Canadian wrestling. Who's going to boo the Canadian Goose that works for real Canadian wrestling? Right. And I was like, I'm also kind of like, you know, I legitimately have Asperger syndrome, which mm-hmm. is like on the autistic spectrum and stuff. So I was like, you know, I'll kind of embrace my shortcomings here, and I'll call myself Ducky the Canadian Goose. And the Ducky part, just like I told this to Hawk, and he was like, the Canadian Goose, what? Oh, that's terrible. Right. And didn't even acknowledge the Ducky part. And I was like, okay, that I think the Canadian Goose actually does kind of work better, especially because he's popping for how terrible it is. Right. Because mm-hmm. it was one of those weird reactions where he said, oh, this is terrible, but he's popping at the same time. Like, you know,
Oh yeah, so sometimes the best stuff that pops the boys is the stuff that gets over. Like Cena used to rap on the bus, and I guess Foley used to do Mr. Socko on the bus to pop the boys. So a lot of stuff, if it pops the boys, chances are it might pop the fans too.
Yeah, so I mean, at that point, I was living at Squig's house too. So I went home and I told him about it, and it also, he also said it was terrible, and it popped him. And then like, it was like I think it was like a month. And maybe a month and a week, maybe a month and a half into my training. And Squig got me booked for my first match. It was a triple threat in Bonnyville.
Okay, I'm going to cut you off right here because I want to talk about that. I want to go to your first track really quickly, your first before, because I like to talk about first matches and stuff. And I want to
But
I want to get to your first song. I was going to ask you where the gimmick name came from, and I'm glad you told that story. And it's actually kind of an awesome story because I never would have thought about the whole Moose thing, but it makes perfect sense. And the way your entrance works and stuff, it kind of plays off that. So I think that's super cool. I like that story. So
I did change it from Goose to Honk, and it got more over with Honk. So people do it like that. It was originally just something I stole from Moose.
Yeah, you didn't steal, you borrowed. You were inspired.
And Squeak told Moose that too when he came to wrestle here, and then told me that Moose was hot. So I just kind of was like, hi, I'm Kyle.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and then just like, what's your information for your entrance tonight? Because I wasn't wrestling on those same shows as Moose. So I just kind of was like, I didn't even mention to him that I was the Canadian Goose or nothing. But I'm pretty sure Squig was ribbing because I really doubt he would care.
I think you're right. So on this podcast, I like to have my friends, my guests pick out a couple of songs that that are near and dear to them to play during the show. And you came up with a couple of interesting ones. The first one we're going to play is a song called Cry of the Wild Goose. Uh-huh. I can't remember what the name of the artist was. It was Bullet something?
The Lucky Bullets.
The Lucky Bullets. Explain to me why Cry of the Wild Goose is track number one of your picks here.
Well, basically all the music I listen to is just stuff when I go on Spotify and I'm like, oh, I wonder if I should get a new entrance song, right? And I just start looking up words like goose or honk or whatever. And this Cry of the Wild Goose came up, and it's actually by Frankie Lane, and it's old song, and there's like five or six different versions of it, but this Lucky Bullets one's got kind of a more of a modern like punk rock feel to it, and your show's called Punk and Pile Drivers, so I figured that was the best version. And it's also like, I don't know, it's just like a badass tune, and I think one day I might walk to the ring for it.
All right, well, we're going to throw to that now. This is Cry of the Wild Goose by the Lucky Bullets on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast.
My heart knows what the wild goose knows, and I must go where the wild goose goes. Wild goose, brother goose, which is best? A wandering fear or a heart at rest? Tonight I heard the wild goose cry, ringing all through the lonely sky. I try to sleep, but it ain't no use, for I'm the brother to the old wild goose. My heart knows what the wild goose knows, and I must go where the wild goose goes. Wild goose, brother goose, which is best? A wandering fool or a heart at rest? Woman was kind and true to me. She thinks she loves me. She got a love that ain't no use. Love the brother to the old wild goose. Tomorrow's dawn, she'd find poor thing that her man, her man, her man is gone.
My heart knows what the wild goose knows, and I must go where the wild goose goes.
Wild goose, brother goose, which is best? A wandering fool or a heart at rest? Let me fly, let me fly, let me fly away.
That was the Lucky Bullets on the Punk and Podrivers podcast on the Backbreaker Podcast Network. My name is Big Bad Boris, joined by the world famous Canadian Goose. Just before we went to that track, we were going to start talking about your first match, and I kind of cut you off there. I apologize, but I like to delve into first matches because they usually go one of two ways. They're usually either super awesome or an enormous train wreck. So tell me what your first match was.
It was, I mean, by normal standards, complete train wreck for sure. But you know, I showed it to some people and they were like, well, I was not expecting it to be that good. You know,
that's always good to hear.
Yes, but that's because they were expecting it to be like really, 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 really bad. And it was only really, really, really bad, you know? So I mean, it was me versus Epic Eddie Rude versus Steven Styles in Bonneville in a triple threat match, and yeah, I came out for the first time. I did the Canadian Goose thing, and it was all played for comedy, you know. Like I did the old thumb in the bum on Eddie Rude.
And I don't know Eddie Rude. What year was this?
This was 2018, October the 13th.
Eddie Rude, that name doesn't ring a bell at all. What has become of young Eddie Rude?
Epic Eddie Rude is definitely like a former like champion in RCW. I'm pretty sure he held the Commonwealth belt, I think. It wouldn't surprise me if he held like the tag belts, but he also like came over from MPW. Yeah, he was around for a while. But I don't know why he decided not to wrestle anymore, but once in a while, like it's almost strange. Cause I remember there was a show in Radway like a couple of months ago and they were like, oh, Eddie Rude's going to be there. Like they announced it on like the social media and stuff. And then I think Eddie Rude just came and watched the show.
Just hung out.
Yeah. Like it was kind of strange, but yeah, he's a really good dude. And I enjoyed wrestling him in that one match that we got to wrestle each other.
So it was a triple threat match. Mm-hmm. You, Steven Styles, and Eddie Rude. Who went over?
Eddie went over. He gave me a torture rack neck breaker that I, you know, like I say, I was really underprepared for I shouldn't have been in that match. Like, I was not ready to wrestle it at that point, right? And I'm not trying to like, you know, bury anyone or edit or anything. I did my best, and it was fun. I did injure my knee in that match pretty badly, which sucked. But
what happened?
I went off the middle rope to do a double axe handle, and I just landed straight legged and jacked my knee, and it bothered me for like months. Like it's still to this day, I wear pretty like hefty, like $100 knee braces on each knee to make sure that sort of thing doesn't happen. And
yeah, it still does.
Like 2 weeks ago, I was at training and I was learning a new cool move. Cause I was hoping there was this big match that I was supposed to be in. And yeah, I went up to the top rope, jumped off, landed straight legged, and immediately couldn't put any weight on my leg, and the next day was rough. And so that's you know, that's why I announced wrestling for a couple of weeks instead of actually being in the ring. And you know, it's a real bummer. It really, really sucks when you're hurt like that.
Yeah, sometimes just those basic things, not even the high risk stuff, but those basic things is where you can get hurt. Maybe the top rope is not the place for the Goose, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know what's super weird is like, I don't mind going to the top rope, but the only thing I feel comfortable doing off the top rope at all is a moonsault, which is really kind of like a crazy dangerous move.
Interesting. When you think about it. That's very interesting.
But like, yeah, if I was like in a match, putting a match together with somebody and they're like, yeah, then you could go to the top rope and do like a flying elbow on me or something, I'd be like, well, can I do a moonsault instead? You know, just because I feel more comfortable mm-hmm. doing it, you know? And yeah, but like the thing about the injuries though, like the actual physical pain, like it sucks, but the not being able to perform is the thing that I really bothers me.
Yeah, not being able to do what you love, right?
Yeah.
So who are, like, when you were younger and kind of starting to get into the wrestling, who were some of the influences? Who are the guys that caught your eye that you kind of wanted to emulate or be like?
Definitely, like, my favorite guy when, like, I first started watching was Kane. I definitely don't, like, model myself after Kane, like, whatsoever. But Mankind definitely was also my favorite guy. Like, he's Mankind. Mick Foley is my favorite wrestler from the 90s, for sure. Mm-hmm. And while I don't do a lot of hardcore, like, stuff like that, I do kind of, like, my personality is kind of similar to his. Mm-hmm. And you know, I like to do a lot of showman stuff and comedy and stuff like that. I'm not super into weapons, though.
So you're not, I don't see you doing any death matches anytime soon.
You know what? I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. You know, like, if it was a situation where, like, you know, I would like to wrestle Vince Austin in a death match, it just once, because, like, I think it would be, like, hardcore and it'd be cool, but, you know, it's not the sort of thing I would want to do on the regular, and
yeah,
it's not the sort of thing I would want to do for the wage I make per match now.
Very true.
I'm not saying that to be like, oh, I'm a big shot and I deserve more money if I'm gonna, you know, nothing like that. Just like,
no, there's just not a lot of money in independent wrestling. I mean, let's be honest.
No, but like, if you're gonna get all, like, if you're going into a death match, like, kind of the art of wrestling is making things look like they hurt but not actually hurting. But in a death match, you don't, like, it's gonna hurt. There's not really, you know,
it's unavoidable.
Yeah, like, if you get thrown onto, like, some glass tubes or something, you're going to get cut, just the way it goes, right? So
are you a guy who watches a lot of wrestling now, or are you a guy who does not watch wrestling? Because I've said this before, I think all of my wrestling friends, they fall into that category where you either watch whatever you can get your hands on or you don't watch anything.
I fall closer to the latter, but I don't, like, never watch wrestling. I don't watch it as normally as I used to. Like, WWE to me, over the pandemic was pretty, like there'd be good matches and good wrestlers I like to see, but the storylines were killing me. The whole piped in crowd noise was killing me. Like, the basically just the wrestlers wrestling in front of no crowd was bad too. Like, I don't think the Thunderdome really improved the situation that much, because I knew that all the crowd noise was, like, video gamed in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I thought it was really, like, unnatural and awkward to watch. And
I think, like, they did the best with what they could in terms of trying to put on some sort of visually compelling television compared to, like, the first few weeks where they just were at the PC in front of empty chairs and it was dead silent. That was really, really dry.
Oh, so yeah, that was worse.
It was, sure, an interesting idea, and it probably wasn't cheap to pull that off, but it's just not the same as having real people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. And, like, I don't know. Like, I appreciated the AEW having, like, the boys around the ring and stuff. I thought that was clever.
I thought that was a cool idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of what we did when we did the Clandestine 3 too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I liked that. I wrestled on the RCW Underground thing where we did the no fans shows. Mm-hmm. And that was rough. Like, wrestling with no fans watching is like, it was just, like, in front of, like, Squig, a camera guy, and then it's you and the other guys you're wrestling, and it you feel everything. You know,
and especially your character, like, being the kind of ultra baby face, you really,
yeah,
kinda,
like,
play
what
off
am
that.
I gonna honk up to no crowd? Yeah. Like, it's kind of stupid, you know.
And that was something I actually talked to somebody else about as well. I don't remember who it was, but when you wrestle those shows with no people, like you were just saying, I think you feel those bumps a lot more because you get that adrenaline for the crowd isn't, like, quite there. So I think you do feel it a lot more, do you not?
Yeah, I think so. I wrestled, the first one I was on, I wrestled Giant Orion. And then same day we taped the next episode and I wrestled Sean Martins.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, wrestling the Giant Orion in the first place would be, like, pretty scary because he's a really big guy. But then, like, you throw in the no fans, and then he gave me his finisher, which is a razor's edge.
Oh, okay.
And Giant Orion is huge. Like, the dude is, like, legitimately 7 foot tall, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And strong as an ox. So, like, it wasn't a problem of him getting me up there or anything. I just was terrified once I was up there. I was like, oh, my God, I'm, like, 9 feet in the air. Like, you know?
There's only one way to go.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I'm not trying to kill the magic of wrestling, but we practiced the bump before the show.
Of course.
And it was totally fine and great. And then when I took it in the match, of course, that's when I smashed the back of my head into the mat. And
oh, lovely.
Like, this was unpleasant. I appreciated the opportunity that to be able to wrestle anyway, right? Like, yeah, so...
What's been some of your favorite matches? Like, you've been doing this for a handful of years now. What are some of your highlights that you feel in your best matches, the most fun you had or what have you?
Okay. Definitely October 18th or October 13th, 2018. That's pretty much 3 years ago. And my big first match in Calgary. Cause for a long time, I only wrestled on small little out of town shows. Cause after 3 months, Hawk moved back to Newfoundland. So my training was kind of finished until there was a few months there. And then I started going to Force Wrestling to train with Michael Blaze. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
that name again. He seems to pop up every week.
So I started training with him, that's when I got my first big match in Calgary, and it was against Heavy Metal. So
okay,
and before the match, at the beginning of the show, we did the angle where I would go from being a bullied ring announcer, and I called Squig out and cut a scathing like shoot promo on him and stuff, and it got like crazy, like a good crazy reaction. I remember after the promo was done, I walked backstage and all the boys were there like clapping and stuff. it was a great experience. And then I went out and I wrestled Metal, and it was, you know, one of the most physical matches of my career, but
he hits hard.
Yeah, but his like he's also like he was so good at controlling the situation and whatnot. But yeah, I thought that it was definitely, I've had two singles matches with Metal and they were both pretty great. We did a 6-man tag that was a lot of fun too. So anytime I'm in there with him, the match is really good. I've also, the Clandestine Society was.
Yes, I was definitely going to ask you about that, because Clandestine Society, the very first one, the live one, did you not win the clusterfuck, or am I mistaken?
I sure did.
That's what I thought. I have a very, and people will attest to this, I have a very, very, very bad memory. Talk about when Taryn from accounting was on.
Beers were flowing that night, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I asked Taryn if she had, I was like, have you wrestled for PWA? And she's like, Boris, I sat in a car next to you for a ride to Calgary. And I was like, oh, shit, I feel bad about that. But yeah, clandestine, that beers were definitely flowing that night. Yes, you did win the clusterfuck. And those things are... I'm kind of sad I didn't get to call that one, but I was on music duty, and there's a lot invested into making sure all those cues and everything go right. So I kind of stepped away from the microphone to make that happen. But that match was a lot of fun.
I had a great time in that match, and like that was my first win of my career, basically.
Oh, nice!
Like I had been in a 6-man tag in Calgary, like. Shortly before that, and it was me, Aussie Legend, and Giant Orion against Metal, Jess, and Christian Strife.
Okay.
And, me and Orion hit a double team razor's edge neck breaker on Big Jess, and then Orion pinned Big Jess. So technically, I guess that would be like my first win, but I didn't get the pinfall or nothing.
Yeah.
And then the clandestine would be the first win for the Canadian Goose. I did once wrestle Squig under a completely different gimmick. Like I wore a mask, and it was just a completely like a spot show thing. And I beat him in a
what was the name?
Match. I don't know if I want to even give it away. Cause it's something that it has been talked about being brought back.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Like
I respect that.
And like, everybody that saw it was like, oh, there's the goose in a weird new different gimmick or whatever. But, you know, it was fun. So it was just a little one off thing, though. But it doesn't really count because I wasn't the goose that night. So yeah. My first singles win of my career was the clandestine.
Who was
and I thought the thing was going to I thought it was a rib. I thought at the last second, you know, they're going to say, oh, we're changing the plan, bro. And, you know, something like that. And I would just, you know, go back to the back and be sad that I got ribbed or whatever. You know?
The way I had always heard it is you were over right from the get-go, or from everything that I was told anyway. Who was the last person that you eliminated? I don't remember.
It was Tex Gaines.
Oh, Tex Gaines.
Yeah. It came down to B-Rat and Thickness. And they kind of eliminated each other.
B-Rat Gorani and then Reed Matthews, yes.
And then I kind of came in the ring afterwards acting like, oh, I've won this match, because I had just been selling on the floor from, you know, taking a move and I rolled to the floor and didn't actually get pinned or anything. And so they eliminated each other. But then it was revealed, oh, Tex Gaines, who is also like in this match, but has been sitting on the floor drinking the beer.
Beer. That's right. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he crushed like 14 beers during the course of the match.
Yeah.
And then he got in the ring and started talking a bunch of like trash to me. And so I punched him in the face and I knocked him down, and I stood on his chest and honked until they counted the 1, 2, 3. And yeah, it was pretty, pretty fun memory. And like, I remember them, he legitimately, like, again, I'm not trying to kill the magic here, but he was like, punch me in the face for real. So I did. And he had a legit goose egg for like a month on his job.
Not a point. There you go. You were part of another fun show just recently, the Love Wrestling / Force Pro Wrestling show that just happened at the Rec Room at South Common here at Edmonton recently. That was kind of a neat new, you know, kind of not a new company. Force has been around for a while, but with, you know, Spencer Love's involvement and a new venue for wrestling. And that was, I sat or stood on the floor for that show and had a couple of drinks, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was really happy to be a part of that whole thing. It took like, I went down there on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for the, like, to help set up and stuff and just work on like stuff that I could do while I was there. Mm-hmm. And whatnot. And just like the whole vibe of the situation, like Spencer Love is like one of the most positive people I know. And like just his enthusiasm for everything and like, you know, wanting to take care of, like, he made sure I had a ride to and fro like every day. You know, he made sure that like he bought food for all the people that were helping and stuff. Like, it was a top quality. Like, he were treated like a superstar of wrestling, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things I really appreciated about it. I also appreciated how ambitious it was, and it sucks that this Twitch stream didn't actually end up functioning.
Yeah, I felt bad about that for a bunch of reasons.
And like, I don't want to, like, you know, I'm not trying to expose anything or whatever, but like, there was a lot of problems with the technical setup, like, mm-hmm. the music and stuff. Like, you were mentioning the cluster fuck match where it's very important that those cues come at a certain time. Well, yeah. I was in a Royal Rumble style match in the open of Love Wrestling. Mm-hmm. And those cues did not come on time at all. Like, it was supposed to be every 90 seconds, but then it was like, oh, they just did the big spot here for the 90 seconds, you know, they filled their time, mm-hmm. hit the next guy's music. And then you'd literally wait like a minute and a half and then the music would come on. So yeah, it was like, I appreciate the fact that you wanted those cues down, but like, it was fun though. Cause we still, like, I went out there and I finished everything that I had, you know, like planned. And then it was just, okay, well, I can expect there to be another minute and a half or 2 minutes of until the next guy comes out. So we might as well just figure it out on the fly here. Right.
Yeah. And just do a little bit more business.
Turned around and there was Kyle Sebastian. He gave me a big drop kick and right in the chest. I was like, oh, okay, solid. He picks me up, whips me off, throws, take another drop kick. And so I come running in and I put my hands up right where my chest got hit the first time, mm-hmm. and poof, right up in the face. Like, I got drop kicked, smoked in the face. And like, it was fine. It didn't actually hurt that much. It was weird. Like, it just surprised me, right? Because I was expecting it in the chest, and it was like, oh. And I, like, he came down and was, you know, did the old wrestler thing where it looks like you're talking trash. He's like, hey, are you okay? Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, well, he kicked me right in the face, but I'm good. You know, and I actually, like, I scored the video for that, and I've got the little gif of it, and it looks deadly.
Yeah,
like, and props, that's to one him, of the... props to him for, like, not actually killing me, but it making it look like he did.
And that's one of the hallmarks of, like, a really good worker too, is if, you know, you get that extra minute and a half and you can go on the fly. And, you know, a lot of guys, especially younger guys, will like to plan everything out, but if everything goes wrong, you got to have those skills to fall back on, that you can work on the fly and you can call things and you can get to that place you need to be if you have that extra time.
Yeah. It's a invaluable skill. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to come on here and you know, brag about my wrestling skills to you, Boris. Like, but like, it, I did do a lot of improv when I was in high school.
Okay.
Like theater improv. And so when I got into wrestling and discovered that, okay, once in a while, things that are, you know, even planned are going to go awry. Somebody's going to forget something. Maybe you're wrestling with, like, an old school guy that's just like, yeah, I'll see you out there. You know, like, things are going to happen. And I think those improv skills have come in really, really, like, handy. And then just, like, you know, training and stuff and developing the wrestling side of those improv skills and how you can implement making it make sense within a wrestling context is a really fun thing for me. I like to go out there and call matches, like, on the fly, but it's also something, like, I like to have a planned beginning and a planned ending, but, like, during, like, the portion where I'm just getting beat up, that doesn't really need to be intricately discussed.
You can just kind of feel it out
beforehand. Yeah, feel it out. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to go to your second track here, and then I've got a couple of questions to finish off this little interview. This next song you picked, I found kind of interesting because it's Free as a Bird, which was like a Beatles song they did for the anthology. Like the kind of sort of the three surviving Beatles took some audio from John Lennon and they created a new song, but the version you picked is not the Beatles version. Explain to me why.
Honestly, again, like, all my music listening, it usually resolves around me going, oh, I wonder what a good new entrance song would be. And so, like, this time I was like, well, what if I went and I became like a bad guy wrestler? Like, I was a heel, you know, I'd need something a little more down tempo, but still, like, cool. And then, so I listened, I just looked up, you know, things like Free as a Bird, that on Spotify, and this re-Beatles version came up before the actual Beatles version did. I'm just learning now that it was a song that was put together posthumously. I assumed it was just an old Beatles tune.
Yeah, no, this was, they put out these anthology CDs a number of years ago, and it was kind of like some outtakes and unreleased stuff. And the three of them got together with Jeff Lynne, who produced it, and they took, you know, old audio of John Lennon singing, and the three of them, you know, put some music together to it and put it out, and they make a really cool music video. If you're a big Beatles fan, you can check out the music video for this, because it's full of little like Beatles Easter eggs as you follow the kind of this feather floating throughout the song in the video. It's really cool.
Well, I will check that out, because I love the Beatles is like one of my top, like, two or three bands for sure.
All right, so this is the re-Beatles doing Free as a Bird on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast. We'll be right back. is a bird on the Punk and Powders podcast. My name is Big Bad Boris, joined by the Canadian Goose. Mr. Goose, what are your kind of short and long-term goals with this whole wrestling thing? What do you want to get out of this?
I'll be honest. I just love entertaining people, like, with my friends. So, like, I'm already getting out of it what I want from it. But, like, don't get me wrong. That's not to say I don't have ambitions, right? Like, I went recently over to Manitoba, and I worked a Canadian Wrestling Elite pay-per-view show. And it was, there was like 2,000 fans there.
Oh, nice.
It was a big time thing, right? And I got to wrestle AJ Sanchez. It's another one of my absolute favorite matches of my career. And so like doing that and getting to venture out and go to another province where, like, you know, I was hired to drive halfway across the country and wrestle two shows in front of people, in front of a whole new crowd that doesn't know me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got to do the whole pay-per-view thing, and all the feedback was really good. Everybody seemed to really like the match and stuff. So, like, that's definitely one of my goals. I want to travel across Canada and just wrestle in different places and, like, entertain crowds and stuff. Like, that's a big part of, like, why, like, I am, like, the Canadian Goose, right? Like, I mm-hmm. think that it works anywhere in Canada.
Absolutely. And I like that you mentioned the friends part, because it's just, like, the people that I've met throughout being involved in wrestling here in Alberta for, I'm coming up on 20 years myself, like, being around, you know, the business, like, from where I started a zillion years ago taking pictures for CCW to where I am now. Just some of the best people I've met, and some very, you know, people, dear friends of mine that, you know, will be friends of mine for the rest of my life. So the friends part, I think, is a huge part of it.
Yeah. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm trying to just say, oh, I'm happy coasting along and doing it. Like, I know I want to be a good wrestler. Like, I, you know, I don't want to be a schlub. I'm not saying, like, but I'm also, like, nearly 40 years old. I'm on the autistic spectrum. I don't think the WWE is really going to be, like, looking to recruit me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You started late.
I'm pretty, like, realistic about that, but I do think, like, you know, 20 years from now, when, like, little kids who are at these shows are talking to their kids and going, oh yeah, I used to go to old wrestling shows. Who do I remember from those shows? The Canadian Goose is going to be one of those names that people remember, you know?
Absolutely.
Cause, like, it's just, that's what it's about. Like, I want people to remember what I'm doing, and I kind of want to be, like, a Canadian icon of small time Canadian indie wrestling.
Awesome.
I don't know why.
So, if I could pick, or you could pick, I should say, a dream match, anybody on the planet that you could work a match with tomorrow night, who would it be?
Oh God. I mean, tomorrow night. I've always said Shark Boy, just because I like the other animals and stuff.
Actually,
like,
Shark Boy would be a lot of fun. Actually.
Yeah, but I think that would be good. I also
now, like, do you want regular Shark Boy or, like, Stone Cold Shark Boy?
Honestly, if Shark Boy could somehow work heel, that would be ideal, because. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's the problem with the match between me and Shark Boy, is I think people would rather cheer for Shark Boy than me.
But I think if Shark Boy came out all pro, like, if it was a match here and you had Shark Boy come out with, like, a Stars and Stripes vest and be an All American, and then, you know, you know,
yeah, you could definitely play it. And Shark Boy's a talented enough wrestler that sure if he wanted to go heel, he absolutely could. Spencer Love asked me the same thing, if there was any, like, Canadian guys, and my answer to him was, again, another, like, animal themed wrestler, Space Monkey, who I saw in a couple of Chikara things, and just, like, the whole mm-hmm. gimmick popped me huge, and I was like, yeah, like, and he's clearly an athletic wrestler and stuff, so he also would be fantastic. And I recently did a podcast with a fellow from Love Wrestling, who was at the Gay Change the Game thing, Holden Albright.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but I think that me and Holden Albright could have, like, a really fun match. I'd like to wrestle him, you know, maybe not with all the hardcore gimmicks and stuff, you know,
all the accoutrements.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that, like, I wouldn't be willing to do that. But just like, if he's going to come in and wrestle me in our first match, like, I don't think we need to go all hardcore in the first match. Like, let's build up to that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, Colton Kelly's a known hardcore wrestler. I'm not. So that's why it works for the love wrestling situation. But like, I'd really like to wrestle him because I think he and I could do some good stuff. His whole, like when he came out with the wolf mask on and stuff, I was like, oh, there's just a contrast here that I think would be pretty fun.
So speaking of podcasts, you yourself have a podcast, do you not?
I sure do.
Tell us about that.
It's Monday Night Shaw. It also airs here on the Backbreaker podcast.
Backbreaker, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, Backbreaker Podcast Network. I've been doing it for a little longer than I've been wrestling. It doesn't have all that many episodes because like I just haven't been able to do it every single week. Sometimes I like to keep it bi-weekly usually. During the course of the pandemic, there was times where I was able to get, I had more time on my hands to get more interviews and stuff and whatnot. So it got a little more frequent then, but like, then I actually like, I got, the right at the beginning of September, I was in a match with Nasty Nate Nixon and he hit me in the head with he hit me in the back and the chair got me in the back of the head. And really cracked my skull open, like really badly. I had to go to the hospital and get like 2 layers of stitches and stuff.
Oh, damn.
And I had like a gnarly like concussion from it. And I went to BC for a month. And yeah, so where was I going with that?
Podcast.
Right. So after that happened and I went to BC for the month, I was kind of like, okay, I'm just going to enjoy my vacation in BC. And not worry about trying to line up and conduct podcasts while I'm out here recuperating, you know? So, but when I got back, that's when I started lining things up at the Love Wrestling show. And so I was able to get Holden Albright to come on the show. And that was the last episode that aired, but I do have one in the can that I have been, I forgot to send to Mike on time, but it will be sent to him in time to be released next week with Ravenous Randy Myers.
Oh, it was cool to see him back around these parts.
Yeah,
again.
You should get him on your podcast. Like, I think he would be great on yours.
I think you're
like a PWA guy. You've been calling PWA since he was working here and stuff. And like you would know him much better than I do. And I imagine he has some pretty eclectic musical taste.
I think you're right. Actually, that's a good call. If you're looking to line up guests and you'd like to hear the fabulous story of Boris, I'm always available.
Yes, 100% Boris. We will, if next Tuesday works for you, we can record
then. I like being interviewed and being asked questions. That's why I do ask Boris, is because I like giving my opinion. It's fun.
I enjoy it too. Like I have my own podcast, but I don't actually get to like talk about myself on it that much. I kind of feel bad when I do. Because it's not really supposed to be about me, but when I get to go and do somebody else's and they want to know stuff, it's like, oh, I could tell you all kinds of great stories and stuff and whatnot, you know? So I love to chat about like just being the Canadian goose and all the cool stories and whatnot that I've and adventures I've been able to have through independent wrestling and hopefully will continue to be able to have.
Just being the Canadian goose. Give us all your social medias and all that nonsense.
Oh, okay. On Twitter, I am Canadian Goose KS. Is it Canadian Goose KS? It's either Canadian Goose KS or the Canadian. Yeah, I think it's just Canadian Goose KS.
Come on, dude. You should know this shit.
I know. Yeah, I should, eh? Yeah, and on Facebook, I do have the Canadian Goose Facebook page, but I am, like, I'm not good at the social media stuff by any means. So, like, if you want to follow me on the Facebook, just friend me under Kyle Shaw. Like, that'll be your best bet, but don't expect a lot of like political posts or anything like that. I pretty much just say, hey, here's where I'm going to be wrestling, or check out this wrestling thing I like, or, you know, that's very, very much what I use my social media for, and networking and getting interviews with people. You know, like I contacted Ravenous Randy through Facebook and was like, do you want to come on the podcast?
Cool. Anything else that you want to add or say to the folks before we put an end to this?
I just want everybody to continue to support me. I want to thank everyone that has come to a show, bought merchandise from me, or just like sat there and honked with enthusiasm. Definitely also should put out another shout out and thank the folks over at Love Wrestling. I do have a show on Love Wrestling as well called The Goose Call, where me and my guest watch a wrestling match and commentate over it. Sort of do like a conversational interview over it. It's not really commentary. We're not like calling the moves or anything, but it's been that one's also been on hiatus since I got smacked in the head.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to bring it back. It's just RCW has been running a lot of Sunday shows right now, and Sunday is kind of the time slot I allotted for it. So if I'm doing an actual wrestling show, that kind of takes priority.
Yeah, RCW is running a lot of shows right now. That's awesome.
Yeah, big time. Like 3 shows a week.
All right. I want to thank you for hanging out with me. This was a lot of fun. I learned a lot.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing the opposite side of the coin here over on Monday Night Show, Boris. I mean, I won't need you to choose any music, but if you want to, we can play some. I guess. I mean, I'm assuming. I don't know how like the. You know, if you need to pay royalties or anything.
No. Okay, gotta cool. Pay royalties. Are you crazy? Shh, don't even bring that up.
K-fabe on the royalties.
I got some stories and stuff we could tell too. So yeah. Okay, we're going to shut this one down. I always pick the last song, and this week we're going to close it down with a song off the latest Deftones album. The song is called This Link Is Dead, and it just kind of... It's been my cardio song. When I get on the treadmill or I get on the elliptical at the end of my workout and I want to try to get, you know, a good sweat on before I go home, this is one of the songs I put on and it kind of gets me all fired up.
Good stuff.
So thank you, Canadian Goose. Thank you for checking out the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast. I'm hoping next week MRB wants to come back on because he wants to talk about music and movies and TV shows because nobody ever asks him about that stuff. Huh. All they want to talk about is wrestling. Which is fair. So next week, I'm hoping we'll get MRB on and we'll talk about movies and music and bullshit and whatever. Again, thank you, Mr. Goose. Thank you, everybody, for checking us out. And we will talk to you guys.
Kicked me in the face a couple times, a couple weeks ago. I was announcing it, and at the end of his match, I announced him the winner and he kicked me in the face.
You know, he kicked me in the face once too, actually. At a PWA show, Sean Moore found his way into my lap and he went to super kick Sean Moore, and Sean Moore moved out of the way, and unfortunately my face was in the path of his boot.
Geese never forget.
Oh, that's how we're gonna end this. Geese never forget. We'll talk to you guys all next week.